listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 22nd. My name is Michael Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Good to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live, as well as to those listening to the archive. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, tonight's topic is going to be reincarnation.
Reincarnation. It's, you know, I know we've talked about it before, but it's been quite a while. It seems to me we had a request for this last week, and it is one of my favorite topics.
Well, it's definitely one of the greatest hits. It's so all-encompassing of the metaphysical discussion. You know, there's so many facets to it. You can take a time-space angle to the idea of reincarnation as well. Is it always forward in time, or do you reincarnate into the past? That's been a fun discussion. Always love that point. So, I guess to kind of get us started, Dr. Hunter, would you like to, I guess, lay down a baseline of what we're going to be talking about tonight in terms of, you know, what is reincarnation, truly?
Well, the definition, as we understand reincarnation, is that as a soul, we incarnate into a body through many lifetimes. So we have many human expressions, the soul. That you could remember past lifetimes, and in rare cases, I've met people who remember future lifetimes. And we especially see this in science fiction writers who make those claims, and that's how they come up with their ideas for stories. So again, time, space. So we can essentially travel through time, space in that linear capacity that we see and understand our world. And that has to be a really important qualifier in the discussion of reincarnation. Now, for one, my preference is to believe in reincarnation. And I'm careful to say that because I'm open to other possibilities. I've looked at all other possibilities. There are lots of them anyway. And I'm comfortable to say that I remember a whole whack of them. I'm comfortable to say that. But they could also be, so this is where we get into kind of a quantum physics part of the discussion, as metaphysicians should, is that if there is no time and space, all things happening in this moment, I could have been and continue to tap into alternate universes. Entirely possible. So a memory is not really a memory, but something that's happening simultaneous to this moment, which I might add is different than the other theory of we exist on simultaneous universes in this moment. For instance, a lot of theories are that we have 12 oscillating time-space frequencies occurring, and that would be why, and I've heard this in indigenous communities and read it in other science forums, where if you're having a deja vu, for instance, however you say that, my kids always scold me that I anglicize these words too much, but the deja vu being that memory of having been there before is actually tapping into yourself in another dimension of time space, and that's possible.
There's
so go ahead.
I was just gonna say, because we were talking about deja vu and the concept of having experienced something before and repeating it, there's a related term I'm desperately trying to find, in wherein you experience a moment and you would swear you've had this in a dream. You've experienced this exact thing in a dream in the past, and there's a here we go. Oh, there's too much dead air going on. I can't scroll through it that fast. But anyway, it's an interesting concept, isn't it? We were talking about quantum entanglement in terms of reincarnation. Is it in these multi-dimensional kind of way, but what about the idea of entanglement between two different people in two different time-space dimensions? Maybe not maybe the same universe that we were in, but in different points in time. And if we were to go deeply enough into it, we could see that theoretically, you know, time is kind of a relative concept to us. There's a time-space spectrum that goes out and expands. But is it possible that you can have quantum entanglement in the sense that you can experience memories and sensations from another's life between two different points in time-space? That's fun speculation, but what would you think?
I wouldn't doubt it a bit. I mean, I've recently had some very strange dreams where I know that's me, but it's not me. Mm-hmm. And feeling all those emotions, or certainly transmitting them to another place, into another me. So I think all those possibilities are valid, but we're theorizing. But I guess the fact remains that people have memories that don't belong in the here now. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to find an explanation for that. And so I think that that's what compels people to explore the notions of reincarnation. And, you know, why do I get that thought? Where did that come from? Where did that story come from? Why am I compelled to like a certain country or a certain time in history? Mm-hmm. So, which brings me to what I've observed is children who have behaviors with no explanation, at least nothing logical, or having stories, or having, fears and dreams, and they can talk in different languages for a while. And I've had this within my own family and my own kids. I've seen it within other kids. There are actually documented cases of kids talking about when their other mother or when their other siblings. And very slowly, though, after about the age of 9, 10, 11, it generally starts to dissipate. And I say that that's more about grounding into this here now, into this lifetime, where the relevance of that previous incarnation or experience becomes less relevant or relative to someone's lifetime. So generally with kids, any things that we might attribute to a past life, the memory usually subsides.
That's it.
I got to say, my second daughter would actually speak in another language. that was a really foreign language, not German, French, or something cool. But it was, and I kind of took some words, and there was no internet back then. But the research I did is they were of an African dialect. Hmm. And she still remembers some of them. But it's, again, you know, her memory's way back there now. She's nearly 40. So, you know, it's way back then. But it was very interesting how she would suddenly start dancing and speaking. It was all in fun, you know, in this other dialogue. And kind of crazy, you know. Something that just off the top of my head, my granddaughter, when she was 2 or 3, would say, "They're going to get me. They're going to get me. And who's going to get you?" And so she would tell this whole story. She got a little bit older, and she was having these memories of having been chased down. And, you know, so usually I think that fear, because it's really very impactful, fear kind of is what's, it's the emotion that's generally to carry forward. The loss is generally carried forward. The other thing often carried forward is that indelible experience of love. You know, so very extreme, full emotion tends to trigger the memories. You know, it's fascinating to observe that.
I've always really felt strongly that I agree with, you know, largely Buddhist, but I would assume, you know, it relates to Hindu reincarnation as well. But the idea that through successive reincarnations of existence, you gain inherent knowledge. Mm-hmm. Those kind of, you know, innate lessons that you can only get from experience. I know just from my cursory knowledge of Hindu reincarnation, it's largely tied to karmic energies. Wherein I think the Buddhist philosophy, and please correct me, Dr. Hunter, if I'm wrong, but I believe the Buddhist philosophy focuses more on experience gained through successive lives.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And the accumulations. Karma, I think, though, is, in my view, an experience that we tend to define in a way that it might not be.
Well, you mean by the original...
Yeah,
you know,
I think karma is by an essence of energy. It's mm-hmm. not necessarily a tit for tat. It is, as you say, that evolution of experience of one's soul. And we like to see it as payback.
Well, I think the original, and again, this is from my cursory knowledge, but that karma was not something that necessarily happened within this life. Karma was mm-hmm. about what would happen in the successive lives.
Exactly.
That, you know, yeah. Your experience in this life will either propel you to another karmic level ahead or take you down a peg in the karmic scale of creatures.
Smackdown.
Yep. You did something wrong, now you got to get bumped back to a frog. You have to do that for a few cycles, and then you can get worked back up until you learn the lessons.
Well, now you bring up an interesting point there, Michael, because the Buddhist the Buddhist teaching is that we can incarnate to animals. Animals can incarnate to humans, et cetera, in that evolution. And I'm not sure which, because that mosquito could have been your cousin, you know.
Then he had it coming. I'm sorry.
He might have. And we could go back to being an animal. And I'm not sure about that. And the reason I say that is, this is twofold, I want to say. Absolutely everything on Earth is interconnected.
Very
you
true.
Know, we're all vibrationally interconnected. That so we can't doubt that. So are we connected with all other life forms? Absolutely, in my view. Energetically, universally, and, you know, in the food chain and however Earth, you know, and this corner of the universe works. However, I would have to go with the notion that, and I've had plenty of discussions about this with people over the years, some people who are way smarter than I am, but the consensus might be toward that each life form has its own frequency of energy. Now, I'm not talking about intelligence. I'm not measuring it by, you know, is a worm smarter than a mosquito or, you know, however that goes. I'm talking about frequency of energy, where you incarnate like a dogs and cats might be in the same frequency, you know, where deer and buffalo might be in a similar frequency. So there's frequencies of life forms. I think a plant would likely always come back as a plant, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's just my thought that as reincarnation goes, I kind of fail to accept that a human being might come back as a rodent, although I have known a few who I would think could be.
I was going to say, I think it's worked the other way around a lot. You know, I see a human being that I swear is a rodent.
I know.
And not so much by their looks, not so much by anything physical, but oh, that energy screaming it. But, I tell you.
But you get the point. So
absolutely.
So I think that it is, we have to entertain all these possibilities. Bottom line is we don't know. We just know we have memories or experiences mm-hmm. that we believe are memories. And it's natural that we want to get to the bottom of them. Sometimes it's just satisfying to have an explanation, a plausible,
profoundly.
Possible explanation.
I think the desire for explanations have... Well, it led to all of the, of course, you know, traditional dogmatic religions, you know, theocracies. Mm-hmm. But I was going to say, you know, something that I always found an interesting concept was genetic memory. You know, memories passed through our DNA from generation to generation.
Yes.
I know we've talked about this in the past as that being, you know, a potential, hypothetical alternative to a soul being reborn is the memories of that past being remembered
yes.
through the DNA and through those generations, which I think is a fact. Does it change reincarnation? Because is not a large part of our soul and our essence the memories of our life, who we've been, what we've done? And when those memories are transmitted, again, this is all pure speculation, hypothetical, but if those memories are transmitted from generation to generation through DNA, and some people can even pick up on them, is that not your essence reincarnating, living on, in a way? Of course, I'm being very loose with, you know, my metaphors and things here, but...
I'm really glad you brought that up, Michael, because epigenetics is a huge aspect of trying to get to the bottom of possibilities. And science has now discerned that we carry about 14 generations of emotional memory that mm-hmm. they know of. So if we have other, let's say you have certain genetic traits of, you know, eye color, hair color, curly, straight, you know, those are all what we can evidently see as being genetic traits. But there are other genetics way deeper than that. Like, for instance, how is it that a bird knows to lay on those eggs and feed that young without being taught?
Or,
you know, because it's in the epigenetics.
Going to a very specific location for, you know, different times of the season, different times of
exactly.
year, or to do different things such as mating and, you know.
Yes.
Things like that. But one... One thing that I always found fascinating, and this relates to the myth and the origin, I don't mean that derogatorily, but just the legend that is the Buddha's enlightenment. It is said that as Siddhartha Buddha was meditating under the Bodhi tree, as he attained enlightenment, he regained memory from each and every past life he'd ever had, which included every type of animal, species, insect, humans, men, women, up until that life, until he obtained that enlightenment. And then, of course, according to Buddhist dogma, you would then attain nirvana, and the cycle would be broken. But it's a fascinating concept to me when I was, you know, reading this and thinking on this. What a fascinating tale would it be if you could hypothetically access the entirety of your genetic memory. And when we think about quantum computing, when we think about the almost infinite nature of our own cells, of our own DNA, you go deeper and deeper, you can store a lot of information. How fascinating would it be if somebody could actually access all those memories? And again, let's just assume, hypothetically, this is true. Going back from your memories of being humans, various kinds of humans, you know, being in different cultures at different times, different genders. Going back so far as to the creatures that we were when before we were modern human. Going back further to the animal before that, because we've been here for billions of years, just not as we are now, according to the best knowledge that we have at the moment. Which means that our ancestors go back far enough, look nothing like us. But yet, that is us. That is where we came from. So I always just thought that was an... Exactly. I always thought that was just an interesting twist on that. That perhaps, if you were to believe the legend of his enlightenment, he was not so much remembering past lives as the past generations of everything that led up to him. So, just a little side avenue I took us down.
Well, no, I think it's a very relevant point of view, and it kind of conjures up all kinds of new questions. If you say, if I can do it one way, why can't I do it another way? You see, I'm a history buff, and I'm an ancestry buff. I have always wanted to know who I am. And on one hand, spiritually, I have a propensity for this, but why do I have a propensity for that? And so the older I get, learn to kind of figure out a bit of the difference. But then I have to question, what is empathy versus actual epigenetic memory? You know, so it's because I have a curious nature, and I'm very curious about my ancestry, and I'm largely almost 70% Scandinavian Sami. So it takes me, like, anything that you bring up that's, you know, Northern Scandinavia, man, my heart pounds, and, you know, I love that. But it's in my DNA to know that. The older I get, the more my DNA awakens to that, because I have a greater appreciation for it. And I think this is what's interesting. I think we're titillized too much by what is possibly a past lifetime and reincarnation, because we put it into the spiritual category instead of looking at all the possibilities in a metaphysical approach, which, had I approached DNA memory differently when I was very young and looking more into my ancestry when I was very young, would I have gained that appreciation for it earlier? You know, because we're not necessarily inclined to do that. And I think more so now, but you either have an interest or you don't. So as in my journey, expanding all these possibilities, it's really opened that DNA memory. And you know what, Michael, you have just challenged me to want to do a little bit of meditation onto that, to awaken body memory. I don't know how far I want to go with that, because I don't like any pain should I encounter it. But I think that having that remote viewing of memory might be an approach. I'm gonna play with that a bit.
Very interesting.
It is, and I think, but again, not just for what we could surmise as empathy, because, and I think I would know the difference by experiencing an environment that's very different than what we live now. So all those factors have to come into play. So again, that's the pragmatic mind, the more scientific approach. So I think it's very possible. Why not? Why not?
You know, another avenue I was thinking about for this conversation about reincarnation is that let's go ahead and have a discussion about, how do I say this? Not spiritualism necessarily, but the concept of spirits or of energy existing after this life. And let's, again, for the sake of this discussion, hypothetically assume that reincarnation exists and there can be spirit life that exists after death. You know, a human being that will pass from this life and exist in some form as what you would loosely define as a spirit afterwards. What would dictate, do you think, for this discussion, what would dictate somebody reincarnating into a different life, into a different mortal life, versus somebody that would exist as a spirit after their death and that would be a ghost?
Ah. Oh, you ask the big ones.
Well, those are the funnest.
Yeah, they are. I think that there are... this is my visual of it, that the universe being this mass of energy, each of us is a fragment of that mass. I don't necessarily think that we as a whole, you know, like who I exact was in, you know, let's say 1939 is the same as who I am now. I think we're fragments of those selves or different expressions of those selves. And how much of ourselves incarnates. Now, some prefer to not incarnate for a long time. I think that some energies have different work to do that are not in a body, and they prefer to be in that, in a lower frequency, corporeal body, mm-hmm. That's more grounded to the earth as opposed to an ascendant energy, but one that's more grounded. And I don't know from a soul's point of view, I don't know if there's much difference between being a grounded spirit versus grounded human, if you know what I mean, from the soul's perspective. So mm-hmm. I think that some entities in that portion of themselves, and whatever is kind of manifesting into that energy, may decide that its majority, if you will, because I'm not saying the right words there, but that would prefer to stay spirit-wise. And it might be centuries before they decide to, you know, okay, I've done my work here. Because, again, what's the measure of time? You know, time to a spirit and time to us is very different.
Well, and that takes me back to, if after this existence in this mortal realm we go back into a spirit form, would that be non-corporeal? Would you simply exist in the abstract of your pure thought? And if you're non-corporeal, that means you're not tied to linear time. And that brings me back to my favorite concept of reincarnating backwards into time, like we were talking about earlier. It's all a fascinating circle, reincarnation.
I love this topic. I love this discussion.
It is.
And
it's a good one.
And it's, again, every time we do talk about it, Michael, we kind of come up with a new thought or a new possibility. So I always appreciate the talks about it. You know, we've had a really wonderful conversation going on in the chat room amongst, you know, our guests and some of our regulars and a couple of new people. And
it's
people going through lots of changes and healing and, you know, making decisions in their lives. And I always appreciate that this is kind of like our extended family that's coming in. So this is my time to ask anybody if you'd like a card. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do, again, our inner oracle cards, as well as, back it up with a tarot card. Mm-hmm. And be happy to draw that for you. Time goes by fast when we're having such a fun time here.
It does. So definitely throw your name in chat if you'd like to have a card pulled. And there's going to be a bit of a lag between when you hear us. But a couple of things. You know, it has been a great topic, reincarnation. It's always fun, and it always makes you think. And if I recall correctly, we're going to have a very interesting topic next week. We were talking about last week. And
yes.
We were talking about... I recall it. It's on the tip of my tongue. It was something.
RHO negative
thank
blood.
Thank you. RHO. Yes, exactly.
We're going to talk about blood types and what makes certain rare blood types distinct and what the theories are behind them. And I think it's thanks to Bonnie Sue for that topic. So yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. And you've actually forced me to do a little more updating in my research for
I need to be,
stats. And so we're. We'll be hot on it for next week. You know, Michael, before we do move on into the cards, we wanted to remind everybody also that we have the graduation coming up on May 2nd. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I was very much looking forward. We're going to be having the graduation on Saturday, May 2nd. Now, this is 9 p.m. Universal Time, which is, well, that wouldn't be Greenwich. But anyway, it's 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time in the United States. But it's going to be, again, May 2nd. We're going to have over 120 students graduating at some level. And I'm very happy to say that we are going to have Dr. Darren Kittle graduating with us.
And, who's in our chat room with us tonight? Hi, Darren.
Yeah, we're very much looking forward, and congratulations. Very much well-deserved. Very big and hearty congratulations. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll be there. I'm looking forward to having a robust group. I'm looking forward to those joining us. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah. So. Now, didn't I read up here that Wendy is graduating also? I think she is. Something. I thought I saw somebody there. Somebody else in the chat room saying. I think Zach Frame.
Yes.
Zach is graduating with his master's. You know, Zach.
I think PhD.
Could be if he's done his assignment, and I haven't heard. But, you know, for those of you who don't know, Zach is always... I have a real soft spot in my heart for Zach. He's been working on his degree with IMHS for about 7 years, taking his time. He's had, you know, lots of challenges that included a stem cell transplant. He's had been dealing with MS and, amongst other things, he's been a real trooper. He keeps busy. He takes other courses and classes, goes through ups and downs and arounds, and he just has been hanging in there, and I'm so excited for him, you know, coming up on the second. That's
right. Yeah.
Wow. That's,
it's going to be great to see. And he, you know, he's been with us for, you know, for a long time, part of this community.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
A good person, good man, and just so proud.
It's a testimony to perseverance,
absolutely.
I tell you. And go ahead.
I was going to say, absolutely. And, you know, despite all of the challenges, he never let anything stop him, and that's inspirational. It is to me. And
He's certainly been an inspiration to me, too.
Yeah.
And I haven't talked to Zach for a little while, but we did write emails the other day and planning a visit. But, you know, and life goes as it goes, right? Sometimes we are connecting with people a lot, and then everybody gets busy, and then we come back. But that's the beauty of feeling comfortable with each other. No pressure, no anything. We're just here for each other in this extended family. And whenever, it's just sometimes even to say, hi, I've missed you.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'd love to talk with him again, see him in chat again. He always brought that wonderful energy. And I just want to touch on, yes, absolutely, Wendy is graduating on May 2nd as well. So congratulations to Wendy.
And she just wrote bachelor's for now. It's been a long time. She's had obstacles too. We know Wendy.
I can empathize so much, Wendy, so much.
But it's so awesome. It's these little milestones. Boy, you just got to pat yourself on the back and say, phew.
Especially during times like this. This is a tough time.
Yeah.
And during times like this, it's more important than ever to appreciate and celebrate the good things in life, the things that make it worth it, and celebrate your achievements. Celebrate yourself.
Yeah.
So, very much looking forward to it.
And, well, let's start picking some cards here.
You read my mind, you psychic you.
Yeah. Okay, I think Dr. Edward is up first. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, hold on.
What have we got for
Focusing.
Dr. Edward?
Focusing. This card is going to dictate the rest of Dr. Edward's life, so I need to make sure it's a good one.
That's funny. Yeah.
Ooh. I have wild card number 3, blocks.
Blocks. All right.
I don't know that we pulled that one in a minute.
No.
Let's see. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. diligence and insight is required. Remain open.
Well, what I appreciate about that one for you, Edward, is that it's backed up with or reinforced with the Four of Wands. Now, the Four of Clubs in regular card language. So what I see that as commitments, obligations, promises, and perhaps it is that you're reevaluating some of these things, or where there are blocks, it's because there's, you know, some kind of a commitment that you might have made that you need to reevaluate. So everything has to be a win-win, right? So what's being given to you and what you're putting out, maybe you're putting out more than what's coming back, that kind of thing. So when is to move forward, when is to step back, and in all matters of partnerships, relationships, obligations, and this could be work, personal life, however that goes for you. But I think there's just a little message that if you feel like there's a blockage, it's because there's something to see. That's all. So I hope that makes sense to you. So we have Sherry, I believe, up next. Mm-hmm.
And for Sherry, I pulled number 14, Energy Shift and New Chapter. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
Well, I love that the Three of Hearts came up for you, Sherry. I mean, this is in this energy shift that you're making, it's what do you celebrate? You know, and it feels like you've accomplished something. You have recently just kind of stepped up to the plate, and I'm just seeing a little bit of celebrating here. So you're following your intuition. So go where your joy is. Go where your heart is taking you. What is, I don't know. Yeah, there's something I want to say here. An energy shift to this Three of Cups is, I see the element I was missing there is the people that you want to associate most with. So you may be changing like friends a little bit, or your focus is on certain people now as opposed to some others who didn't serve your frequency as much anymore. So there's a little shift going on. I'm excited for you. I love those times because it can feel renewal. It can feel like you're getting some fresh energy. That's a good one. Bonnie Sue is next, Michael.
Absolutely. And before we move on, I feel it only necessary to say that somehow a June bug got in here and was repeatedly crashing into my face while I was going through that last card, and I want respect for being able to read through that without breaking, as that bug was continuously kamikazing me.
That's funny. Oh, Michael, that's hilarious.
All right, but Bonnie Sue, I know that last week it really resonated, and hopefully our cards tonight are also going to resonate, and the first one up is number 5, Law of Control. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says that you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
Well, in support of that, Bonnie Sue, is the Four of Hearts, Four of Cups in tarot language. And what I see, the equal and opposite of that is, you know, feeling that something's taking away from you, or it is that something is being given to you. But the first thing that came to my mind is just because something seems like an opportunity that you should say yes to, maybe the opportunity is to say no. That's kind of where I went with that in my intuitive feeling. So you think, you know, that because that gives control, and the law of control, kind of a whole new meaning. You're in control of you. You make the decisions. Not everything that comes our way is meant for us. You know, it might mm-hmm. it might be better for somebody else. But in this energy that's coming and going in your life right now, just ask yourself if that's something that you really want. And if something you feel is leaving you, is it really something you needed to keep? So, and then it becomes management as opposed to control. So mm-hmm. that's my thought. Wendy is up next, Michael, I think.
All right. And for our graduate, I have number 31, Sacred Obligations. Mm. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
Well, Wendy, I pulled a couple of cards that came out the same time here. King of Hearts and the Eight of Hearts. And that's in replenishing energy. But in the sacred obligations, I think you might be feeling a shift with regard to relationships, how you regard relationships, how you interact with them. And it's not fighting with what you thought you wanted so much as what you feel is right, and standing in your own space and more devoted to yourself, if that makes sense. So it's this commitment to yourself, those sacred obligations, and seeing life from a different perspective, more from the inside out, and what serves your higher good. So I just think that you're demonstrating yourself in a different way. And that's a really good thing, because it's not with struggle anymore, it's more with ease. So I hope that makes sense.
Very nice.
Angie is next, I think, Michael, if I mm-hmm. if I've been keeping up with the chat well enough, is what I'm
I believe
hoping.
So. That's what I have okay. Up next as well. And Angie, I have number 3, be who you are, walk your own path.
Ooh, nice one.
That is. Let's see. You are uniquely designed, one of a kind, universal being, equally entitled to all the good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself. That's a good card. I don't think we pulled that one in a little while.
No. Walking your own path, of course, Angie does that. And
absolutely.
In support of that, Angie is the Eight of Wands, Eight of Clubs in another language. So what it is quick action. Think of things that can – I feel this stop-start energy going on. So it's – don't hesitate to roll with that. In other words, don't kind of resist that you say, oh, things are going fine and how come it stopped? It's because the energy is generating again. So in this, be who you are, stay true to it, even though you might feel these little voids of time or voids of energy or activity, don't worry because some new stuff is coming. And you got to be ready on your game for the activities and other ventures that you're going to be in. So you've got this really good flow of energy, but again, it has its own mind, so don't think that it's not happening, because it really is, and there's going to be some pretty cool things coming up. So I think you're on it. So again, that stop start, don't worry about it; it's coming around. I think Darren is up next.
Absolutely.
Darren, who's going to be graduating on May 2nd. That's awesome.
And all right, Darren, I have pulled number 6, boundaries.
Interesting one.
It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Well, that is a really interesting card in relation to this one. I don't want to step over any boundaries, Darren, no pun. But the supporting card to this is the Page of Pentacles. And I go straight to tarot language because pages are that extra symbol between the minor and major arcana. They're the communicators. And so being a page, it's matters of physical finances, belongings and such, like where are your boundaries in that, and talking about finances, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be within the home. It can also be outside the home. So what can you step forward with? What is better to step back and where are those the boundaries of that? So regarding where you feel you fit in the world, rewards, more in possessions, I think is the better word for this. So I think that you're reevaluating it, and I think that's my sense is that's going to continue again probably for another few weeks. But, you know, go easy on it, think about it, and step forward and speak up when you feel is a good time. And, of course, always in a good way. So I hope that makes sense to you, Darren. It's good. Do we have any other names that I might have missed? Because the chat has been really busy.
It is.
Wendy just said, Dr. Edward, it is a busy chat tonight. Great topic. She's going to go back and listen again later. So that's the beauty of the archives.
Oh, absolutely. And very much looking forward into expanding that, you know, as we continue to grow our community. And we're going to be looking at some changes coming up, and they're on the horizon, admittedly. But a little peek behind the scenes is that eventually we're looking to be able to, of course, have our archives on the site and perhaps even expand on some other platforms so people can listen on mobile devices easier, maybe via Spotify, iTunes, things like that. Looking at down the road. But no, it's been a fascinating discussion tonight, and you know, I think we're going to have a fascinating discussion next week, because we always have fascinating discussions. It's always good stuff. Come on.
But we certainly don't run out of things to talk about. That's
no, I could
sure.
keep going for another 20, 30 minutes. You want to keep going?
Yeah.
No, it's okay. We're all right.
You know, people in the archives might say, what are they doing? I would like to, on that note, I would like to say, anybody, if you have any other topics that you would like us to discuss in upcoming shows, please. You know, this is where we've gotten the idea for reincarnation again and the RHO negative blood. And you know, we appreciate that because you help stimulate us also.
Absolutely.
So keep it coming. We appreciate you.
Yep, it's just creating that content and interesting things to talk about. Lessens the creative burden on us, so we appreciate it.
You know, it's April 22nd already. Everybody, the COVID-19 is waning a bit, I believe. Hang in there no matter where you are. We're all in a healing time. Wash your hands. Stay safe. Stay home unless you have to. And do due diligence, and all is well in the universe.
Absolutely. And looking forward to you joining us next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.